of the potential possibility that we will move into the next year, I'm going to try to take and have a thought about that. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness and looking to you to deal with us according to your mercy. Thank you very, very much. Take thy word, Spirit of God, honor it. Honor our Lord. And Father, may you be honored. And we'll thank you in all of this. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of the day in which we live, and Israel is certainly a ever-present example of history, as no other nation. And they are there in as a nation in unbelief, and thus they are paying a price because they failed to learn from yesterday. So here we are, it's our turn on planet Earth, and we're looking, we want to learn. So certainly, God, you have given your word so that we can learn. Therefore, Romans chapter 15, picking up if I can in verse 4 directly, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, our instruction. That purpose, that we through patience, bearing up under the load, and comfort being encouraged, comfort of the scriptures, might have hope, so that we can bear up under the load, and that we can be in comfort, encouraged by the scriptures, to be full of hope. Hope is necessary. Hope is the key ingredient to go forward. You can't go with love. You're going with hope. You hope when you went to bed last night that you'd get up, didn't you? Did any of you hope when you went to bed you wouldn't get up? You hope that you'd wake up. Because that's there. All the other things were true, but you hoped that you'd wake up. Hope is the key. So now, the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation, which is the word hope, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Purpose, that we, verse 6, that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, adding to that, verse 13. Now, the God of hope, the God who has the wonderful, wonderful, endless future from our standpoint. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And how are we going to be filled? In believing, you fill your glass. You fill your heart. In joy and peace in believing, purpose, that you may abound in hope. God's going to give you his wonderful person and presence that's full of hope, endless hope, and that hope is going to abound, and it's going to do so not because of anything of us, but through the power of the Holy Ghost. God is going to make that hope a wonderful, wonderful reality. Christ in you, the hope of glory, as we shared in Sunday school, the blessed hope. Now, having said that, so the scriptures, so God, you gave them. I want to be encouraged. I want to have this hope. I want to have this expectancy as we go forward in a very troubled and troubling day, world, to say the least. And Israel is in much trouble. And thus our world, because Israel's in trouble, our world is in trouble. Thus, over, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis in chapter 6. Now, just giving you a brief update so you have it fresh in your mind. Here's God's wonderful working with humanity in Adam and Eve, etc. Adam and Eve, Cain, Abel, and all of that, Seth. And all of that, the humanity, humans developed, many, many of them. And they were all in one place, one language. And in the process, they were gathered together in such a way as to make sure that they left God out of the picture. They didn't want to include God. Now remember, there was no religion. There's no religion to compete. There's no politics to compete. There's just people doing what they do and God. Very, very conscious of God. But they don't want to be conscious of God. Now, chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 5, there the thoughts of their heart, their thinking, heart. You have a physical heart that pumps blood, etc. But that's very, very, very rarely used of your physical heart, the Bible. But over many, many, much time, the word heart is used of your person. Not a physical heart. How do you identify the person? By the heart. The heart. Their heart was alienated, separated. They were not interested in knowing God's person and thus God's heart. God's heart was grieved as the Creator that the creature was not honoring the Creator. So their heart was negative, and God's heart was grieved. They have a heartless, they're heartless when it comes to God. They have no place for God. God has a place for them, but they don't want that place. Now, that's that. With that in mind, the heart persons were created in the image and likeness of God to know God and honor God. So now, God, what are you going to do? Well, God, in his wonderful wisdom and work and way, goes and thus he raises up a man in Genesis 11, raises up a man named Abraham, remember. And in raising up Abraham, he comes, and where is he going to find Abraham? Well, he finds him in Ur of the Chaldees over there. And Ur of the Chaldees is all the way, just think of the Persian Gulf, Sinai, the Persian Gulf there. And then on the top of the Persian Gulf is the Euphrates River, and you start a journey and go about 170 miles up, and you'll find Ur. And if you go up another 500 miles, or stay in the Euphrates, all the way up to the first part, Ur is in Iraq today, the country of Iraq. And if you keep going up Euphrates, and you keep going up about 500 miles, and there is Syria, country of Syria, Turkey, right in that border, Syria and Turkey. And if you go about another 75 miles north of that river, you'll hit Haran. Now, Abraham went from Ur, he went all the way up to Haran. And then he's going to go all the way up from Haran, going to go all the way down to the land, which is about another 350 miles. So he travels to get Haran about 1,000 miles to get up there. 1,000 miles when it's all done, counting the land. And in the process, 600 and 350, 1,000. So now he's going to go on a long journey to get there. He leaves Ur of Chaldees, and we'll come back here. Hold your finger here a minute. And go with me, please, over to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua is going to rehearse for Israel where Abraham came from. And in Joshua chapter 24, picking up, please, in verse 2, 24:2 of Joshua. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. That the word flood is the word river, that's Euphrates. An old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Verse 3. I took your father, said God, Abraham, from the other side of the flood of the river, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And verse 14, just to add to it, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood of the river in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. In other words, you went, you did Egypt, and you came from Ur, and you ended up in Egypt, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here they are going, and Abraham goes into the land, and of course Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob does what? Well, Jacob is in the land, but then Jacob ends up being the one to having 12 sons, and Jacob has the necessity he has to go to Egypt, remember. And so Jacob goes to Egypt to survive because of the famine. The family of Jacob goes there, the 12 sons. And then they go after 430 years. They go to Sinai, Mount Sinai. They cross the Jordan and the Exodus. And then they go in the wilderness. And they go in the wilderness in Sinai, Sinai Peninsula, Sinai, Mount Sinai mountains. And they go, and they end up 40 years there. And in the process, they spend 40 years there. Now, in order to pick up that, so we get it, here they are. And God rescued a people. Remember, Israel didn't want to get delivered. They didn't want to be rescued. They wanted to stay in Egypt. They didn't want to go. So you have a people exiting. Do they have a heart for God? No. Not the, some do, but people don't. Generally, the people don't have any heart for God. So, but God, you took them. I did. It was time. Why? You have a plan, and your plan and purpose is that people would be able to understand you, able to have a heart for you, as you have a heart for them. Heart to heart. That's what you wanted. So God, can things stand still and go nowhere and die? Nope. They got to keep going. And thus, the Exodus and the wilderness. Over, if you would please, to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And we get another bit of help. In Numbers chapter 14, I would remind you that they are going to go because of their unbelief, and the 40 days in the land spying it out, and 40 years are going to take a year for each day, I guess, they're going to say, and the children are going to spend 20 years old and up, we're all going to die in the wilderness. And chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 32. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, suffer your whoredoms, your apostasy, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So God, you're going to judge them, rightly so, and I want you to notice the little verb, and your children shall wander, shall wander. That's to be shepherds. They got all these animals, thousands of animals, all kinds of animals, and God gives them water, or God gives them, has to give them food, everything. God gives the people food, God gives them food. Everyone's fine in the middle of no man's land. God takes care of them. And in the process, they are shepherding. They are being shepherded. They are shepherding the sheep. They aren't growing anything. They aren't planting anything. They aren't building anything. They're just shepherding and waiting for God to move them as he did periodically around and around and around for 40 years. Now, in the process, God was shepherding them, wonderfully so. God took care of them all in those 40 years. Are they a believing people? Do they have a heart for God as a nation? No, they don't have a heart for God. But God is doing a wonderful work because that's what he's looking for. And God, you're going to keep, you aren't going to quit, you aren't going to get discouraged. You're going to keep at it. That's correct. So God, what was the assignment that you gave when you took Israel out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and you gave them a wonderful refresher course on why they aren't in Egypt, why they are still alive, those that are left, all died 40 years, and those that are left, and they're going to go, and you're going to give them some understanding of what on earth are we doing on planet Earth? Why are we here? Where are we going? What's our purpose? God, you're going to help them. Over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy. They had a wonderful, as you know, assignment. And thus you would go to Deuteronomy and then to chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And they had a wonderful assignment. And God reminded them the assignment. They were to be a wonderful, wonderful, privileged people. God would take care of them. Even in the wilderness, when in their unbelief, God took care of them. Wonderfully so. God, are you going to keep track? You're going to manage your piece of property called planet Earth, etc. Are you going to manage that? I am. What happens if the tenants on the property aren't very good? I'm still going to manage it. I'll exit the tenants and add to the tenants, but we're going to keep going. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 4. And remember now, they're going to go somewhere wonderful into the land, but not yet. So they're going to get ready for it. We're going to get ready if the Lord tarries for another year. So now, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and the assignment, just to get the sense of it, verse 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach you, the reason for to do them." The reason, why do you want to exercise the truth of them? "Because that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." The imagination of your heart needs to line up with my thinking. When you alienate your thinking and go against me, you lose out. You need to think and go along with what I'm after, and therefore need to honor my word that I give you and how to live and how to exercise it. So therefore, keeping that in mind, therefore you're going to have the word. You can't add or subtract to it, remember, verse 2. And you don't add or subtract. I gave you my wonderful word, and it's time to move on, and I'm going to get you all ready to do so. And remember, time and tide, T-I-D-E, time and tide wait for nobody. Nobody. Time, the clock never stops for anybody. And the tide is going in and out as programmed, whether you like it or not. Wow. Now, so here, verse 6. Therefore keep the word, God's word. They were to honor God's word. And do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Remember, Egypt, they had all kinds of knowledge in Egypt. But this, now they're going to work with God. God's wonderful word and working, his word, which exceeds and overrides and outweighs all of Egyptian knowledge. And Egypt had a lot of knowledge. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? For what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? You have my word, my presence. What nation on earth has my word and my presence like it? No one like Israel. No one. No one. We're going to go in history. We're going to go to the north, the south pole, north pole, east and west. Where do you want to go? What country do you want to go to? Apart from when we came along a little bit. Israel. Israel was given thy word. We chose to follow a Judeo-Christian background. And that's why we're blessed. But Israel had the word and had God. Had God. For what reason? The whole nations were to pay attention in their political religiousness to pay attention to Israel. So now, keeping in mind in a very personal way, verse 9. Take heed, therefore, your assignment, Israel. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Remember, you saw all the plagues and all the judgments, and you said to say, wow. Only take heed to thyself. Start with yourself, like in the airplane. Thing comes down. Put it over your face. Start with yourself. Always start with yourself. Get your act right. Then you can go. Get your heart right. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart, all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So you're going to teach them, wonderfully, wonderfully teach them of God's word. And thus they are to be exercised, they're to exercise God's word, experience the truth of God's word, and to exhibit the wonderful truth to the nations around them, so that God's personal presence, God's given word on how and what we do and why we do it, and we're to take heed unto ourselves, because they're going to be looking, and we want to be in the place to make sure we give the right message to the world. Therefore, verse 20. Chapter 4 and verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, iron fixed, great pressure, oppression, the Egyptian bondage, hath brought you out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt. Be unto him a people of inheritance as you are this day. So a wonderful, wonderful possibility, probability, to be his wonderful people, to enjoy all of the benefits that would lie ahead in the future if they would but go for them. But they had to go for them. And, of course, they didn't. And remember now, verse 21, just a little. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and I swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto the good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, for an inheritance. And he says that five times. He will say that in this great message he gives. It's the last things I'm going to tell you. Deuteronomy chapter 1 through 34. I'm going to tell you them. You pay attention. And I want you to know, I've been telling you this. I've been telling you I'm going to go. So you guys get ready because you're going to be on your own. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to chapter 4, verse 29. Remember, the people ought to take heed unto themselves and to look to God. And you have the same thing in verse 23, if you're looking. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. So it's a personal thing. So you want to hear. Well, you're going to hear about, it's all about you. You do something with what I'm saying, God said. Honor my word. You personally honor my word. And thus in chapter 4, and picking up in verse 29. They're going to be scattered because they're going to not believe, and God tells them that ahead of time. And a verse, I'll give it to you a little bit, verse 27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations because you don't believe, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, not many, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods and work the works of men's hands, all kinds of religion and philosophy, etc. Wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. All their religions are lifeless, powerless. Verse 29, but, if from thence, when you're there, you shall seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you go, when you're there, now, you didn't do it in the land, and you ended up in captivity. You ended up being scattered. Now, you wouldn't do it when you were sitting in the house. Now, I'm going to take the house away and put you out in the wilderness. Will you pay attention to me? Pay attention. If you seek me with all your heart. God, you mean your heart. It's the heart. I've been trying to... The heart. It's right. As you know, the heart. So, over here, if we can... In chapter 4, verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. God, you are God. Right. And they need a heart. Chapter 5, as you know. Chapter 5, and in verse 29. Chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that there... Remember, this is the Ten Commandments are given. And God said, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But you know, they didn't have a heart. But they had the commandments. They had everything. Everything's going, but no heart. No heart. No heart. No heart. You remember why the church went down the tubes. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4. The church in Ephesus, which was the bestest, most, the model, M-O-D-E-L, the model church, Ephesus was. And you know what their problem was? Right up front, they lost their first love, didn't they? It wasn't that they didn't do everything. They did everything. They could quote the Bible and give the doctrinal statement, they had no heart. No heart. Got to have a heart. But, listen, I'd rather have a little boy, a little girl that loves me with what? All their heart than a big PhD in some place full of Bible and no heart. I don't need that knowledge. I need the heart. The heart. I don't need that. You're giving me what I don't need and don't want. I want your heart. Now, hang on to that. And thus they had no heart. No heart. So now, having said that, chapter 6. In chapter 6. And picking up, if I can, in the great Shema verse, chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, plural, is one Lord. Now, and, verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. I notice all the time it says all. Why couldn't it just say 25%? Why couldn't it just say 50%? Why does it have to say all? If God doesn't save all of you, you're lost in sin, aren't you? God had to die for all of your sin from head to toe, or else you aren't saved. You are forgiven from head to toe. Otherwise, you are not saved. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and they need to love you with all their heart and with all their might. And verse 4, these words which I command thee this day, where are we going to hide thy word? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Verse 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And what are you going to, and when they're in the heart, they're going to be in the head, in the heart, in the head. And therefore, you're going to teach wherever you go, you're going to exhibit them. You're going to exhibit what you believe. You're going to exhibit how you believe. You're going to exhibit excitement. Football, basketball game, yay! God's word, oh. See, you exhibit it, don't you? You exhibit it. What are you excited about? See? We tell people where we are by what we believe, our beliefs. And they show up all the time. When did you last read the Bible? Oh, I read the Bible last month. See, when did you pick up the Bible? When do you read the Bible? You see. When do you enjoy the, when do you eat, nourish yourself on the wonderful nutrients of God's Word? Wow. So now, having said that, the heart had to be. And so, chapter 7. And in chapter 7, may I pick up, please, so you see it. God, you're always after the heart. Uh-huh, I am. And Israel, they aren't some great people at all. They aren't. No, but I chose them. And the remnant, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're God's, they're there where they should be. Deuteronomy chapter 7 in verse 7. The Lord did not set, Deuteronomy 7, 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. And, verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore, verse 9, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God, you're going to do that to 1,000 generations, so that we can read it down the road, so that we can read what you said back then. That's correct. So we're reading it and looking at it. And God, to 1,000 generations. And verse 18. One of the problems they would have is that the, I'll read verse, get a little context. And in verse 17, thou shalt say in thine heart, because you have a heart relationship, these nations are more than I. How can I dispossess them? In other words, how are we going to go and overcome people with chariots of iron and their giants like Goliath, giants of Anak, and all kinds of people, all kinds of things that are overwhelmingly trained. They're trained warriors. They fight all the time. They practice. Wow. What are we going to do? In our heart, we ask that. Verse 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember that the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. and all the temptations which thine eyes saw, and signs and wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. So what are you afraid for? You don't need to be afraid. You need to trust me. Trust me. Thus, you're going to have to learn it. You have to learn to trust. Why can't we just say, I'll trust you? Because it doesn't work that way. You learn, as a human being, you learn to love. You are not born loving. You are born dependent, but not loving. Loving. You have to learn that. You have to learn it. And God, if we're going to be able to trust you, I have to learn that. It isn't something you just have. We have that called the Declaration of Independence. And we, through dependence, exercise the Declaration of Independence because we learned we had to be dependent upon God and not ourselves or the system. And we learned to be dependent. We learned it. Other countries do not do that. Our country doesn't hardly do it. Wow. And when I was with the veterans the other day, I reminded them in prayer. Our God. Anyway. Deuteronomy 8. God, do we have to learn it? Absolutely you do. Absolutely. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Why? That you may live, and multiply, and go in, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And, verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years, maybe across the Red Sea, and how I've done and kept you and watched over you. Thou shalt remember all the way, and you didn't believe, you murmured and mumbled and grumbled all the way, all the time. You're always murmuring and mumbling, but I did my part. Yeah, I did my part for you day and night. I took care of you in every way remarkably so. Thou shalt remember, verse 2, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, down low, not pride. Pride is the enemy. The enemy. Pride does. Pride, as we shared the other day, pride robs us. It makes us everything bigger, exaggerates, changes everything from reality. And thus, the magnificence of a great God is lost. And we become too big for our britches. And we lose God. And we share together without doing all that, you know. Everything's small. There's nothing big to God. I remind you that. There's nothing in the whole billions of galaxies are small to God. There's nothing big. So God speaks of smallness, because that's how you're going to learn how big he is. Wow. So now, thus, God, what are you going to do? Verse 2, I'm going to humble you. Going to take care of you, and I'm going to humble you. And put you to the test. That's intensive. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. And make it so that you are going to be put to the test to know. What do you want to know, God? What do you want them to know? To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. I want to know where your heart is. I want you to know. I already know. You need to know where your heart is. And when push comes to shove, I'll know. And you'll know. When it comes to cost something, will you pay the price? Will you pay the price for being a believer? Question. I'll know where your heart is. I'll know. Wow. I'm going to prove and put it to the test. And God in your most wonderful way, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, sliding down if I can, and I might as well read it for the sake of, to humble, prove thee to know what was in thine heart. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So we don't live by eating and drinking, we live by God. Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. You never had a foot problem. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart, are you going to pay attention now in your heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, disciplines his son, so the Lord God chastens, disciplines you. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Fear him. And he's going to bring you into a very good land. That's the future. God, you keep banging away at it. I want the heart. And I'm going to do a wonderful thing, ultimately. So hang on. You're either going to make it or you're not. As you go down the corridor of time, you're either going to hang in there or you're not. That's it. And if you hang in there, I have a wonderful plan for you. And verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. You don't have to work about it. No, think about it. The land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, the land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. I'm going to make it complete. Wonderfully, wonderfully full. You won't have to go anywhere in the world. It'll all be right there. That's my plan. You've got to have a heart, though. If you don't have a heart, you'll never last in that land. You won't last. You'll end up in captivity if you don't have a heart. You've got to have a heart. And they just didn't have a heart. Not yet. And verse 13. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, would you notice it doesn't say add? It doesn't say added and added and added. Everything you do, God, multiply. How would you know all these things. What would it be if you worked for Joe's sweatshop? Make believe. Joe's sweatshop. And Joe said, I'm going to add to your pay $10 a week. You all happy? What happens if the boss said, I'm going to multiply your pay by $10? I'm going to multiply your pay. I'm going to go and multiply your pay, not by 10, by $10. I'm going to multiply it so that it comes up to more and more and more and more, whatever the figure is. It's going to come up. Would you rather have me multiply your pay or add to it? Do you want my blessing multiplied or you want me to add? God, you're going to multiply it. That's right. I'm going to multiply it. That's God. I multiplied all the billions. Well, you could have made 6 billion galaxies. And now we've got, I think you know this, you know the new telescope up there called WEST, W-E-S-T, for the man that, Space Center, his name, Mr. West. And he's called WEST, and that's going to be out there 930,000 miles in space. Almost 1 million miles. Remember, the sun's 93 million. 1 million miles in space. And the telescope is going to use infrared and look at all kinds of stuff. Now, God, you could have made 1 billion stars. But he knew what America would do, and everything has to be trillions. So he knew he couldn't just do billions. It's billion. What's 1 billion? 1 billion. 1 trillion. And so, God, when are we going to end looking at these stars? Never. Not in this life. You're not going to do it. Wow. God, you multiply. I do. And verse 14. Then, when it's multiplied, what happens? Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You're going to forget. You're going to forget. Everything's good and nice, and you forget about. When things are tough, you pay a little more attention to your diet, to your spending, to your coming, to your going, to your budget. You're paying attention to things. Pay attention to your health when you need to. Otherwise, if everything was okie-dokie, you wouldn't care. You don't care. You just forget everything, whatever. God said, you know, I am who I am, and I multiply. But I want you to know, you are going to abuse who I am, and you're going to forget me, and you're going to forget trusting me. And that's what's going to happen. And remember now, that's what he does. Verse 15, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness? Verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna? Verse 17, thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and might and the might of my hand hath got me this wealth. I did it. No, you didn't do it. You didn't do it. God did it. God did it. God did it. You know, you can say, I did this and I did that. No, God did that. God allowed it to happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. Wouldn't happen. Wow. God, do you know how many heartbeats your heart's going to beat? Absolutely, I do. Well, then, you know all that. You do. I do. I know it all. And when I say in my heart, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, I have to remember James, you know. And remember to say all the time what? Lord willing. Lord willing. Lord willing this. Lord willing that. Now, got to get that cockiness out. Wow. So God, you're going to do that. That's the problem. We're going to lose in our heart. We're going to lose it. So God, you made it in a wonderful way that we're going to look to you. And I don't want to forget you, God. Verse 18, in closing, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth you thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do not do at all forget the Lord thy God, forget him, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. God said, listen, I just wanted your heart. I just wanted your heart. And I knew we wouldn't get very far. So that's why I put the evening, part two. I want your heart. It's a wonderful thing. God, well, that's what you want. That's what we do. That's what it works. There must be something else. No. I just want you to have a heart for me. And when you have a heart for me, Jeremiah 31, when you have a heart for me, you will find that I love you with all my heart, with all of my being. God, you think of us, as you know, 1,000 times. You think of us, thoughts about us, as the sand of the sea. Zillions and zillions and zillions gone. We can't match it. All we can do is look to you, God, and give you our heart. That's all. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and God, deal with us according to your wisdom. Spirit of God, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that you would understand our yesterday, our past, and that you project us into the future, knowing all of the ups and downs, the ins and outs. God, thank you. Thank you very much. You said it, in fact, to be thankful to you, our Heavenly Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing a stanza of 2 of 5, 5, 9, 559.